Turn to Proverbs 9 and verse 5. Proverbs 9, 5. Wisdom is continuing her message here as she's calling men to come into her house. She said in verse 4, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled." This is the second part of her message to men. Let's just look at that first word, come. That's what wisdom, that's one of the first things she says is come. Come on in. She calls out to the simple who are humble enough to realize and accept that they're simple and lack understanding, like we saw in verse 4, and she invites them to come and dine with her, which is why I had us sing the Come and Dine song, because we'll see how Jesus did that here in a minute. So she says to come. Come in its most literal sense, it expresses the hitherward motion of a voluntary agent to move towards, approach, especially to reach by moving towards, hence often merely to arrive, present oneself. We probably all knew what that meant. When she says come, she's saying you leave where you are and head towards me, in other words, head towards my house. And, you know, isn't that the call of repentance? It's to turn, to change directions. Instead of going on the broad and wide gate that leads to destruction, turn and come on the narrow and straight way which leadeth unto life. It's interesting that with the parallels here between wisdom, building her house, hewing out the seven pillars, killing her beast, mingling her wine, and then sending the maidens out, all that, calling people to come into her house. We saw how that's symbolic of Jesus Christ building his church, setting up the ordinances, calling people to come in. And she says, come eat. Come and eat of my bread. And it's interesting that Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, right? 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, we're told, after his resurrection, he invited his disciples to come and dine with him, which I think is just interesting. This wasn't not exactly a church service or anything, but I think it's interesting that Proverbs chapter 9, wisdom says, come eat of my bread. And after his resurrection, Jesus says, come and dine. John 21 and verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So he had spread a table for them and invited them to come and eat with him. Which is what Jesus does every time we have communion. If you think about it, it'd just be an interesting thought. Every time we come here for communion, just imagine Jesus is saying, come and dine. Because it's his house, it's his table, and that's what he's inviting you to do. The gospel message to God's children is to come and to partake of God's provision. I'll give you a few verses here. Starting in the Old Testament in Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. You're going to see this word pop up here several times. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is obviously the Lord speaking here, and it's interesting there in verse 3, he says, come unto me. And you'll notice that Jesus Christ, in the next verse that we're going to look at, said the exact same thing. But here's wisdom, the Lord, saying, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. So it is qualified, and it would be qualified in Proverbs chapter 9 too. The people that are invited to come and eat are the people that are hungry, right? Drink of the wine which I mingled, the people that are thirsty. The ones that are thirsty, the Lord invites to come. They don't have to bring money. They don't have to buy it. it was given to them freely by grace. Now turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28, and you'll see the same exact language used, which is just one of the numerous proofs that Jesus Christ is God, because back there in Isaiah, it was the Lord speaking, and he's saying the same thing that Jesus said when he came. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, you don't have to labor and be heavy laden anymore. He'll take that burden away. He'll bear it for you. He'll take a lot of unnecessary burdens off your shoulders. Imagine an Arminian that really, really truly believes in Arminianism, or that really believes that he has to share the gospel with people in order for them to get to heaven, and that every person that he fails to share the gospel with will end up going to hell. Imagine the burden that you would carry. You couldn't enjoy yourself anywhere you went, because every single person you walked past, you say, "Oh, I better share a tract with him. I better say something to him." You sit down by somebody on a plane, you wouldn't dare just lean your head back and take a nap on the flight, because, I mean, this guy could go to hell tomorrow, right? You got to share it with everybody. That's a huge burden.
As an introverted person, and I was, Arminian in the past, it was work to talk with people.
Oh, yeah.
Just to start a conversation, it was like,
Yep. Yes. And that's a burden that Jesus will take from us.
To be more exact, strangers.
Yep. And then turn to Revelation 22 and verse 17. But you know, probably in their hearts, most Arminians turn into sovereign grace believers, because if they fail to share the gospel with some guy, they say, "Well, if God wants them to be saved, somebody else will." You know, they'll ultimately say, "If God wants them to be saved, he'll get them there one way or the other." So,
Now you're making me think. Did I think that way?
Probably so. I mean, if you don't think that way, you'd have to think that God is completely impotent and powerless. And, you know, most people probably wouldn't want to go there. It's just like they turn into sovereign grace election believers too when it comes to the heathen out there in the jungle somewhere that never heard the gospel, and they say, "Well, you know, God would have mercy on him because he never heard." And we say, "Well, yeah, that's how he saves everybody. He has mercy on them, right?"
Why go to them and lower their chances?
Exactly, yes.
True.
Yeah, and so you go to a whole tribe of people, all of whom are going to heaven right now because they haven't heard, and then you share the gospel of condemnation with them, and you send most of them to hell because they won't believe it. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, think about that. Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." But see, it's whosoever right there is qualified, him that is athirst. That's whosoever will. It's not people that aren't thirsty and that have no desire for it. You say, "Hey, whosoever will, come and drink of the water of life freely." And he's like, "Oh, I already got a bottle of water. I don't need that. I'm not thirsty." So those who hear and obey wisdom's call to come unto her are blessed, because a lot of people don't hear it. The wicked will not come to God. Jesus said that in John 5 and verse 40. Their nature just won't allow it. They by nature are averse to God. They're at enmity with God. They don't want anything to do with him because he requires things of them that goes against their carnal nature. John 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." You will not, because you cannot, have no desire. It says in Psalm 10 and verse 4, that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. pretty sure that's what it says. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He will not.
What about elect of God, Pastor Ragnar, who are convicted, but they're just not willing to let go of their...
Yeah, like King Agrippa,
lust.
Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, that they almost
right
don't persuade us.
It's not just the foolish and wicked, but even God's elect who are obviously very worldly.
Yeah, sometimes God's elect act like the heathen, and they don't,
Just like the prince. Oh, I'm sorry, that rich man.
He walked away. Yep. No, there are examples of that, certainly.
And they miss out on a lot, though.
They do.
So that we never have the blessings and the fellowship and the assurance.
Yep.
That's true. So even in heaven, they're going to reap, I'm assuming, what they've sowed here to some extent. Like
they
when it comes to God's reward system.
Yeah, they won't have the reward, certainly, but...
That
but obedient,
still,
obedient children of God.
Eternally, but the reward is not
Yep. And then wisdom says, "Eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." So wisdom building her house, furnishing her table, sending out her maidens to call men to come into it is symbolic of Jesus Christ building his church, establishing its ordinances, and sending out his apostles and preachers to cry unto his children to come into his house. And that's pretty much what we've already seen in Proverbs 9, 1 through 4. But for the sake of somebody maybe just hearing this particular study and not hearing the other ones, I'll just read that passage. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, which she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. So this is, picture Jesus Christ building his church, calling men to come into it. And one of the ordinances that Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, as we've already seen, one of the ordinances that he instituted in his church is the Lord's Supper, which consists of bread and wine. Right? I mean, it's pretty clear picture there of what this is talking about. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, 17 through 22. This is during the Last Supper when Jesus had gathered to eat the Passover with his disciples. And it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. I was really glad one day when I came across that passage because I had been wondering, should everybody share the same cup of wine? Because he said, you know, drink of the cup, and of course the Catholics have just one chalice and everybody drinks after each other. And then I came across this verse one day, take this and divide it among yourselves, and that's before they drank it. Mm-hmm. So they took it, they split it up, you know, and then they drank. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Fruit of the vine, that's, we're talking about wine here, grapes. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled, Jesus is essentially saying there. And he bids his ministers to preach unto men to come to the great supper in his kingdom. Luke 14, 15 through 17. Luke 14, 15 through 17. And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things.
And when one of them.
I missed a word because the grammar just didn't make sense there. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said unto him, then said he unto them, okay, third time. It's late. I'm tired. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come. Remember what wisdom said? Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, the simple, in other words. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Wisdom cried to the Jews first. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to come. And then he says, okay, go out into the highways, the hedges. Go out and get the Gentiles. Call them. Have them come in.
And he was pretty angry at them.
He was. In another parable similar to this one, it says he went and burned up their city, killed those murderers and burned up their city. He was not happy.
That was the Heavenly Father speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And as we saw in the previous verse, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, invited his disciples to come and dine with him. Mm-hmm. He says, come and dine, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled, in other words. And wisdom exhorts us likewise. And just here's one closing thought for you. I actually heard Pastor Mott make this point. I think it was just in a very recent sermon. And it was just a passing thing he said, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And that is how blessed we are to be welcome in God's house and to eat at his table. Because, I had this thought, how many houses and tables are you welcome to eat at in this town? Not very many, I mean, a handful, you know,
yeah.
10 maybe, 20, I don't know, I mean, how many ever people you know, but, mm-hmm. right? But really, you know, there's 11,000 people in this town. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of those, you are not welcome to walk into their house and eat at their table. Right? Mm-hmm. You're just not.
True.
But you are welcome to eat at God's table.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God has invited you to come into his house. Right. He accepts you to come into his house, to be a guest in his house and to eat at his table.
That's God right there speaking.
Yes. I mean, that's amazing if you think about it. We're super blessed mm-hmm. to be able to be part of the church, to be accepted into the church, mm-hmm. to partake of communion at the Lord's table. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought that was pretty powerful. So that takes care of Proverbs 9 and verse 5.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.